Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are stepping away from the policy papers for a minute. We're putting on our boots.
And climbing the ladder.
We're climbing the ladder. We are going to talk about the roof.
Which is, ironically, the one place most people in the solar industry, you know, rarely go once the contract is signed.
And that's the whole thing, isn't it? We have this stack research today that circles around a concept I found, well, really arresting. The source material calls it the quiet divide.
The quiet divide. It's a perfect description.
It's this invisible gap between what the spreadsheet says and what's actually happening on the shingles.
Exactly. You've got the office where a project is just a series of, you know, clean green cells in Excel. Project on schedule. Margin looks good.
IRR is holding.
Right. And then you have the reality on the roof, which is often messy.
Messy is a polite word for it. We're talking missing tools, fatigue, wind, hardware that doesn't quite fit.
All the stuff that doesn't have a line item in the weekly report.
Exactly. And our mission today is to figure out how that divide basically creates ticking time bombs in solar assets. We look at the human side of it.
Specifically, how communication breakdowns during construction turn into physical system failures, you know, years later.
And we're not just going to admire the problem. We're going to talk about how you find those failures before they become, well, fires.
Which brings us to the partner for this deep dive, Wadadley Solar.
And that's Wadadley Solar.
Fun to say, but serious business.
Very serious. Mm-hmm. Wadadley specializes in independent current condition assessments for commercial and industrial PV systems. So they're the people you call when you get that feeling that the roof doesn't match the spreadsheet anymore.
Especially for sites that have seen, you know, limited or just deferred maintenance. We'll get into their whole diagnostic process later. It's incredibly rigorous. But first, we have to understand the pathology. How does a system get sick in the first place?
It usually starts with that translation layer we mentioned. The source material makes a really interesting point here.
That the construction manager, the CM, is often the only link between those two worlds.
The only one.
And think about the pressure on that person. In the office, the language is all financial. It's tax equity deadlines, quarterly targets.
Maximize the install rate per hour, speed.
All about speed and cost. Get it done by Friday so we can book the revenue.
Right.
But on the roof, the language is physical. It's this clamp is stripped, or the wind is picking up, it's not safe, or I don't have the right torque spec for this racking.
And the CM has to translate all of that. But the source argues it's not just translating, say, English to Spanish.
No, not at all. It's translating intent.
Intent.
That's the heavy lifting. If the office says, hurry up, the CM can't just go scream that at a crew that's already exhausted. If they do, safety is the first thing that goes out the window.
So they have to translate the urgency without sacrificing the quality.
It's an incredibly difficult tightrope to walk.
And this is where that distinction between in-house crews and subcontractors gets really sharp. I was reading the notes on accountability versus enforcement.
It's a fundamental shift, really. With subs, your main tool is the contract. You vet them, you hand them the plans, and then you police the output. You're enforcing a result.
Here's the standard. Meet it or you don't get paid. Simple.
But with in-house teams, it's totally different. You own the process. You own the culture.
So if the team is disjointed or if they're afraid to ask questions?
That's your risk right there on your payroll. You have to build the dynamic, not just enforce a contract.
Which brings us to this amazing case study in the material about a predominantly Hispanic crew. And I want to be careful here because I think a lot of people make assumptions.
Oh, for sure. They hear Hispanic crew and they think, okay, simple, get a bilingual foreman, problem solved.
And that is the trap. The source specifically points out that Spanish isn't, you know, a monolith. In this one case, the manager had guys from Puerto Rico, Guatemala, Mexico, Spain.
Think about the difference between someone from, say, rural Mississippi and someone from Dublin.
They're both speaking English. Theoretically.
Now put them on a noisy roof with power tools running and ask them to relay a technical instruction about torque values.
You're going to get errors.
And it's not just dialects. It's literacy levels, technical fluency. Some of these guys might be master electricians. Others might be on their first week in construction.
So the manager in this story, he did what I think 90% of us would do. He grabbed the most senior bilingual guy, let's call him Jose, and said, Jose, tell the team to double-check the wire management clips.
The key man strategy. Seems efficient. It's free.
But the source says it failed miserably.
Right. And the why is what's so important.
That's what I couldn't wrap my head around. If Jose speaks Spanish and the crew speaks Spanish, why didn't it work?
Because Jose isn't just a radio, he's a human being. He's stuck in a social hierarchy.
Ah, the social dynamic.
Imagine you're Jose. The boss, the guy in the truck with the clean vest, is stressed. He barks an order at you. Tell them they're being sloppy. Tell them to tighten it up.
And now you have to turn around and say that to your friends, your peasant.
You're going
to
soften it. You don't want to be the bad guy.
So you filter it. You strip out the urgency. It becomes, hey, guys, the boss is stressing. Just, you know, make it look good so he gets off our back.
And the intent, the safety critical intent, is totally lost.
The source calls it softening.
And in construction, softening is dangerous. If you soften a command about secondary tethering, well, panels fall off roofs.
Okay, let's pause on secondary tethering. That's a great example from the notes. For anyone listening who isn't an installer, what is that?
It's a safety backup, a seatbelt for the solar panel. If the main clamp fails, say it loosens over 5 years from thermal expansion, the tether keeps the module from sliding off and hitting a car or a person.
So it's vital, but it's also invisible once the job is done.
And it's fiddly. It takes time. So if the message, do this or people could die, gets softened to, hey, try to get these on if you have time, guess what happens at 4 p.m. on a Friday?
It doesn't get done.
We interrupt this podcast with a quick reminder. Solar systems that aren't inspected don't perform as designed. Annual inspections protect output, safety, and payback. With Dudley Solar LLC, serving the U.S., Antigua, Guyana.
And no one knows.
Not until a storm hits 3 years later, precisely. So the manager in the story realized this key man approach was failing. And he did something radical. He hired a professional interpreter.
Not a worker, a dedicated communication channel.
A pro. And the rule was simple. The manager speaks, the interpreter translates exactly what was said tone and all over a speakerphone to the whole group.
So no filtering,
yeah.
No Jose trying to be nice.
Zero ambiguity. And the results were immediate. Safety compliance went up, mistakes went down. But the most interesting part to me was that tension went down.
See, that's counterintuitive. I would have thought a formal interpreter would make things feel stiff.
You'd think so. But ambiguity creates stress. When workers don't quite understand what's expected, they get anxious. They hide mistakes.
But when the instruction is crystal clear,
they know exactly what success looks like. It builds trust. And that trust is what saves the asset. Because the guy who notices a little nick in the wire insulation, he's the only one who sees it.
And if he trusts the system, he speaks up.
If he feels respected, he fixes it. If he feels like a cog who just gets yelled at, he might just walk away. And that little nick becomes a ground fault or a fire. Communication isn't a soft skill. It's a force multiplier for mechanical integrity.
Okay, so that's the construction phase, the ideal world. But let's be real. A lot of our listeners are sitting on portfolios built in, you know, 2018, 2019. They didn't have an interpreter.
They bought the project from a developer who flipped it and vanished. It happens all the time.
Right. So now they're just looking at a dashboard and the production numbers look fine.
Green light on the dashboard.
But is it fine? And this brings us back to Wadley Solar. If you miss the chance to get communication right during the build, you need a different kind of truth-telling now.
You need a forensic accounting of the physical reality. And Wadley calls this an independent current condition assessment.
I want to double-click on independent. Why does that matter so much? Can't I just ask my O&M provider to check things out?
You can, but you have to think about the incentives. The O&M provider might be the same company that built it. Asking them to audit their own work is, well, it's optimistic.
It's like asking a student to grade their own exam.
Exactly. Wadley has no stake in the game other than the truth. They're not trying to sell you a new inverter or cover up an installation mistake. They are just there to answer two questions. Is this thing safe? And is it working?
So walk me through one of their deep dive inspections. It's more than just flying a drone over the site, right?
Oh, way more. Drones are great, but they can't see a missing torque mark. Wadley does a boots on the roof assessment.
They get their hands dirty.
Literally. They start with a visual inspection, checking the module, sure, but really focusing on the racking and the wire management.
Ah, wire management. The solar spaghetti.
Yeah.
Wires just resting on an abrasive roof.
It's a ticking clock. The insulation rubs off, roof gets wet. Inverter trips. They look for that before it trips. They check all the balance of system components.
Then they move to the invisible stuff, the electrons.
Right. The inverter and monitoring review. This is crucial. A lot of monitoring portals will just show greeno unless they get a specific error code.
So silence is interpreted as success.
Precisely. But maybe the inverter's derating because the fans are clogged? Or a whole string of panels is out, but you don't notice because you're just looking at the total output?
So you're losing 10% of your revenue and you don't even know it.
Wadadley validates that the data on the screen actually matches the physics on the wire. They find those communication gaps.
And then there's safety and code compliance. You use a very specific term, as found conditions.
Which is important. It's not about blame. It's not about why a conduit is loose. It's about documenting, at this moment in time, this component violates code.
The snapshot of your liability.
Exactly what an asset owner needs. And from all that, they build the action plan.
And this is key. Because a 200-page report of every little scratch is useless.
It's analysis paralysis. They know that. They prioritize. They separate the noise from the signal and tell you what needs maintenance, what needs repair, and sometimes what needs to be repowered.
That prioritization is so important for budgeting, for dealing with what you called deferred maintenance.
Which is really just a euphemism for neglect, let's be honest. Solar was sold for a decade as set it and forget it.
No moving parts.
Except for thermal expansion, wind vibration, UV degradation, rodents.
Nature has a lot of moving parts.
And these are power plants. You can't ignore a power plant for 5 years and expect it to be fine. Entropy wins.
So if I'm a listener, maybe a facility manager, and I'm getting a little nervous right now, how do I engage with this?
Well, if you want a company like Wadadley to come in, they have a clear process. To prepare a formal proposal, they need a bit of homework from you first.
Let's run through that checklist. What do I need to have ready?
First, the basics. System size, both DC and AC, and the approximate installation year.
Why does the year matter so much?
Technology changes. A system from 2014 with central inverters has a totally different failure profile than a 2022 system with string inverters. The age tells them what to look for.
Okay, got it. Next.
Site plans or pictures. Even if they're old, it helps the assessors know what they're walking into.
Logistics.
Exactly, which leads to site location and access considerations. Can they just walk up? Is it a flat roof in Jersey or a tracker system in the Mojave? Do they need a 40-foot ladder?
Nothing slows down a project like not being able to get on the roof.
Then tell them what you already know. Any known issues?
Give them a breadcrumb trail.
Right. The inverter resets when it rains. Or production craters at noon. It helps them bring the right tools.
And finally, and I think this is the most strategic part, the why.
Yes. Is this for internal planning, asset acquisition, or owner reporting?
How does that change the inspection?
Well, if you're buying an asset, you want the ruthless truth. Every scratch is a negotiating point to lower the price.
You want to know if you're buying a lemon?
But if you already own it for internal planning, you might not care about cosmetic stuff. You just want a safety and critical performance check to build next year's budget.
It's about tailoring the diagnosis to the need.
And once they have those details, size, plans, access, issues, and intent, they can turn around a proposal fast.
It's amazing how these two topics bookend the life of a project. We start with clear communication to build trust and safety.
And we end with independent assessments to verify that trust and safety.
It all comes back to that quiet divide we started with, the gap between the spreadsheet and reality.
The map is not the territory.
And whether you're hiring an interpreter to explain the why or hiring Wadadley to audit the wiring 5 years later, the goal is the same.
You're trying to drag the truth out of the shadows. Because the roof is governed by physics. It doesn't care about your quarterly earnings call.
Physics is the ultimate impartial arbiter.
It is. If a clamp is loose, gravity wins. If a wire is nicked, voltage finds a ground. The only variable is when.
So if you're walking away with three things today, what are they?
One, in construction, don't just translate words. Translate intent. Sometimes that requires a pro.
Two, poor communication isn't an HR problem, it's a defect generator. It creates the loose clamps that haunt you.
And three, if you're managing an asset, stop assuming green lights mean everything is okay. Validate it.
Get an independent set of eyes, like Wadadley Solar, to give you the as-found reality.
Get the roadmap. You can handle bad news. You can't handle a surprise fire.
That's the takeaway. So here's the thought I want to leave you with. We live in an era of smart everything. Smart grids, smart meters. We think we see it all on our dashboard.
But data can lie, or at least it can omit the ugly parts.
So if you haven't physically looked at your roof lately, or you're relying on reports from people who might be afraid to tell you bad news, ask yourself, what is your asset trying to tell you right now?
Is it whispering about a rusted bolt? Or is it screaming about a melted connector?
Don't wait until the scream becomes a siren.
Well,
if you need clarity, seek it out. Change how you talk to your crews or call Wadadley for a checkup. Just make sure you get the truth on the roof.
It's the only way to sleep when the wind starts blowing.
Thanks for diving in with us. Stay curious, stay safe, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you found this podcast useful. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to us at info@alternativesolutions.az. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune in for future episodes.